Ullman and 10 of the technicians came to the surface to see Roczen and his party off. The rest stayed below. They were still frightened, but they were learning the truths of survival that Roczen had taught to Ullman. Ullman looked up at Roczen and the others who were all mounted and ready to ride. The two remaining pack brids were loaded with particle beam pistols and rifles, 50 of each. It was just a start.
Goodbye, Ted Roczen. It was a true fortuity to have met you.
Oh, we'll be back to get more weapons. Once the other free fighters of America get wind of these, they'll be banging down your doors.
And we'll be ready for them. It is time my people had intercourse with the outside world. We can remain moles, hidden deep underground, no longer. Life sensitivity of sensory receptors times new experience plus pleasure pain factor of 0.3332.
We'll meet again.
Again, Ted Roczen.
Ullman bent his pencil mark of a mouth into a smile. The free fighters rode off into the falling night. The next few days were good. The men were all in excellent moods from their successful mission. They had gone out to get something and had done it. A mission that might well someday go down in the history books, equal in importance to the ride of Paul Revere or the crossing of the Delaware. The free fighters were filled with a bursting pride to have contributed so much to their country. They rode single file, almost due east, retracing their steps. It took nearly a day and a half to get out of the black soot that surrounded the silos. Rock was much more relaxed than he had been on the outward journey. And thank God he didn't have to worry about Perkins and Lang. Lang's leg was nearly back to normal, though it was slightly scarred. Plastic surgery back in CC would take care of that. Perkins' lung was functioning almost perfectly. Roczen wished they could have taken one of the medical machines, but the things weighed nearly half a ton when they were all hooked up. That would have to wait. It was the weapons that were the priority. Just the feel of the particle beam pistol on his left hip brought a smile to his face. He still carried the shotgun pistol on his right side. It was too familiar to discard. Besides, you never knew when one of these newfangled weapons was going to go haywire. As they reached the outer edges of the blasted terrain, Rock realized the place was familiar. Ahead of them lie a field of bleached bones. The free fighters rode past, looking down on the huge carcasses of their pack brids. The ribs of the animals were as thick as small trees. Then past the dead squad of commandos. They lay right where they had fallen, each one posed in some bizarre frozen moment of death. Only there was not a trace of flesh on them. The buzzards and rodents and trillions of bacteria in the air had licked their bodies down to gleaming white skeletons.
We have them now, sir. Air reconnaissance is reporting in from 30,000. They've picked up a line of men atop the mutant horses, heading directly past the spot. Heading east, sir.
That's them. Excellent. Let's go.
The two men headed out to Kilov's staff car waiting directly outside the center and were whisked to the Denver KGB airport. Kilov had insisted that he have his own KGB airfield for emergency ops, and Zhabnov had acquiesced. And now he had tried to kill him. Kilov smirked. He had to hand it to Zhabnov for guts. He hadn't thought the fool had it in him. The only question was whether Vasily was in on it too. But all that was for later, after this Ted Roczen was captured. That would break the back of the American resistance. He could put Roczen behind bars and televise it every night. Show them what power their hero had now. Kilov looked at the 10 waiting Soyuz 2 jet attack helicopters, part of the Death Squad's fleet.
Are they equipped with everything I asked for? The gas, everything?
Down to the finest detail, sir. Follow me!
Kilov was led to the lead helicopter. The KGB colonel slid into the seat next to the pilot and waved his hand in an upward motion.
Go, go!
The craft hitched forward, jets activated, and tore into the clear purple-tinged night at 600 kilometers an hour. They flew in a V formation with Kilov's helicopter in the lead, about 100 feet apart. A flock of black hawks with red stars on the side. Kilov looked down over the countryside. The vast dead stretches of land, mute testimony to the damage the Russians had done. And there would be more, much more to come. They flew for 2 hours.
Attention men, this is your leader, Colonel Kilov. You've all been trained for this mission. You are elite troops, so I know that you are ready. But let me stress once again that this Ted Roczen, must be taken alive. Try to take the others prisoner, but if you can't, you may kill them. But Roxxon must not be hurt. The man that takes him alive will get 100,000 rubles and the Medal of the Supreme Soviet Hero. The man who kills him will die the most excruciatingly painful death ever experienced on this Earth. That is all.
We'll get to the edge of that damn fog and then rest for the morning. The Brids have been going for nearly 14 hours. Lang, how's your leg?
Still no problems, Roxxon. That machine fixed me up right.
Good. I'd hate to see... Wait.
Rock? What's wrong?
Everybody dismount, quickly, men, and get out your particle beam rifle. Everybody, look through your scopes. Mine shows a fleet of choppers coming straight for us. We've got a fight coming, a big one. But they're in for a big surprise. Now, we've all been working with these, but they're still new. Just remember not to leave the choppers as you would with a machine gun. These babies are instantaneous.
The free fighters found what cover they could in the low bushes and got into good firing positions, lying on their stomachs, setting the rifles on their front tripods as they had practiced. Even Chen grudgingly took a rifle and set it up. The helicopters came in fast, shutting their jet engines only when about a mile away. They spread out from a V to a straight line formation, headed down to an altitude of 100 feet, and came in for the kill.
Ready?
Aim.
Fire! Berger, Detroit, sight each end of the line.
What the hell is going on? Pilot, turn back! Turn back!
What's taking anybody alive? Fire those damn missiles! Whatever's shooting at us is in that grove of trees right ahead!
Keep firing!
Eight beams of the blackest light ever seen on Earth shot out in an absolutely straight line at the helicopter fleet. Four craft exploded as one, sending a wave of white-hot shrapnel into the air and to the ground. The crews of the disintegrated helicopters barely had time to scream before their bodies were melted into the atoms of steel walls and rotors in the burning hell that consumed them. The pilot of the sole remaining craft opened his eyes wide in horror. The rest were all gone. He tilted the control stick full forward, and the chopper broke into a steep dive. He pulled the rear gyro as hard as he could to the right, whipping the craft into a full circle.
Guns trained?
Yep.
Targets in my sights.
All right, men. Let's see what happens.
The craft evaporated into gas from the combined energy of the shots. Not even wreckage, just a flaming vapor that quickly burned itself into nothingness. Kilov watched with long-range binoculars from some 8 miles off, where he had had the helicopter pilot stop and hover for a minute. His face was livid, his body shaking uncontrollably. The pilot looked at the KGB leader with terror. Every one of the fleet was gone, smoking ruins on the ground. He had almost lost his life.
What weapon can do damage like that? A black beam that can destroy everything? Take us back to Denver.
He was shaken to the core. Things were worse, much worse than he could have imagined. If the rebels had weapons like that, it could change the entire balance of power in the world. It could mean the end of the Soviet Empire. He and Zhabnov and Vasily would have to stop their bickering and ally themselves together to fight this common threat. Or else they'd all go down in the blast of a black beam. The free fighters rose from their firing positions and looked at the piles of smoking debris that littered the hills ahead of them. Roxxon clicked the safety on his particle beam rifle and turned to Detroit.
The thing works. The goddamn thing really works.
Doomsday Warrior. Adapted and directed by Dan Smith. Dialogue editing and digital effects designed by Johann Detweiler. With performances by James Komacek, David Coyne, Terrence Azelford, James Lewis, Richard Rowan, Christopher Graybill, Dylan Lynch, Christopher Walker, Karen Carbone, Tim Carlin, Thomas Penny, Nanette Savard, Ken Jackson, Michael Glenn, Jeff Baker, Kate Torrey, and Mort Shelby. Additional red shirts by The Dead Giveaways. Featuring music by Johann Detweiler and Aaron Miller. Doomsday Warrior is a graphic audio production. Copyright 1984, Ryder Stacey. Production copyright 2007, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers, James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. If you enjoyed Doomsday Warrior, be sure to look for Don Pendleton's Stony Man and James Axler's Deathlands. Available at Road Stops Everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net, where you'll also find samples of all our Action Pump titles, as well as free screensavers, desktops, ringtones, and games. Keep listening for the third episode of Mark Dalton, Owner-Operator.